Well, good morning. Good morning, everyone, and welcome here in Jesus' name. And you have to excuse my voice. I am fighting a cold, and Joe actually offered to preach for me yesterday for other reasons, and if I knew I was going to sound like this, I probably would have took him up on it. But anyway, first of all, I have a prayer request. If y'all want to write it down, you can pray for this. A man I learned to know here in Arkansas probably 16 years ago. He was an equipment salesman, and I kind of run into him, and he's a professing Christian, and he's on fire for God, and I've been blessed by his testimony. But anyway, I didn't see him for years, and I've been in contact with him just a little bit, off and on, and I actually seen him a couple months ago. Anyway, he texted me yesterday and requested prayer for his daughter, and her name is Holly Brown, and she's 25 years old, and she has turned her back on God. So he requested prayer for her. So if you would try to do that. So thank you. So today, I've been blessed in the devotions. It went well with what I have to share. And so what I was thinking about is something that we all have. All of us have this in our lives at some time. And so I was thinking about spots and blemishes or imperfections, at least that pop up sometimes. Proverbs 20 verse 9 says, "Who can say I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin." In Isaiah 53 verse 6, it says, "All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." And this was Isaiah talking of Israel straying from God. You know, and it's our tendency to stray the same as it was for them. And so our natural tendency is to have these sin spots or imperfections in our life. And I was wanting to look at that this morning a little bit. On a physical, natural level, we like things as near perfect as they can be. Some people more than others, but I figure every one of us has at least some admiration for things that we consider perfect. Vehicles and machinery, when they're new, we consider them perfect. They're not perfect because man made them, but we view them as perfect. We consider them perfect. But it's almost impossible to keep a vehicle or a machine or whatever it is, it's almost impossible to keep it that way long term. And paint gets chipped, something gets dented, scratched. It just happens, and these imperfections happen. And that's pretty hard to enjoy, that when that happens to our perfect things that we like. And some of us just have to come to grips with the fact that things on this earth ain't going to be perfect. I like to wash and shine on my equipment in the wintertime, but it don't matter what I do to it. I can wash on it for a week. I can do whatever I want to, and it still has imperfections when I'm done. It may look better, but it's still imperfect. We was up in Pennsylvania recently, and their flower beds and yards and pastures looked perfect to us. And we noticed this. They just looked really, really beautiful. But then I seen a pasture with weeds in it up in Pennsylvania. I don't know if somebody from Arkansas moved up there or what. But it kind of did my heart good. They actually have weeds up in Pennsylvania too. It seems like a lot of them don't want you to think they do, but they do. There's imperfections. So as Christians, followers of Christ, we are to be perfect, spotless, and blameless. And I'll read from 1 Corinthians 1, verse 8. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 8. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another verse I have, it speaks there that we are to be blameless or perfect before God. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And another verse in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And I've got three more here. Philippians 2, verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And then 2 Peter 3:14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And then the last one I have there is 1 Peter 1:19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So how can this be? We all have our evil nature that causes spots or blemishes to surface in our lives. And they surface sometimes, and it makes us less than perfect or blameless before God. We're not blameless anymore. We feel the sin nature coming to the surface. And yet we have read these verses that say we are to be blameless and spotless before God. The last one we read there, 1 Peter 1, gives us the answer. It's the blood of Jesus applied to our lives that make us spotless and unblemished. When Jesus came and gave his life's blood on the cross, he pulled the handle up on a fountain where flows the best cleaning agent ever heard of. And it wasn't doTERRA or Melaleuca or anything like that. And it's actually drinkable. John 7, verse 37 says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And I would like to think that if any man thirst for cleansing, let him come unto me and drink. 1 John 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And then also Hebrews 9, verse 14. Hebrews 9:14, for how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So purge your conscience, or cleanse you. You know, when we was in Pennsylvania, we went to Ken's Joys, and I bought a new Bible there, and my Bible's kind of, it's got some marks on it. As you can see, some pages are falling out of it. I would probably give credit to that to some of the children that's been around in the past, not recently. And I bought this new Bible, and I wanted a good Bible, so I picked out this good Bible. Fact is, I give so much for it. Later, my wife seen the tag on it, and she said, "Do you know how much that Bible cost?" And I said, "Well, yeah. You know, I always look at something before I buy it." But it has a genuine bonded leather, and anyway, it's supposed to be good, so it's about perfect, right? Well, I'm carefully taking care of this thing, and we went to the Zion Church up there in Ohio Sunday evening. So I pulled it out of its box very carefully. And I took it into church, and I was sitting in church, and on the front cover of it, I noticed this little speck, this little spot. And I tried to get that off there, and it wasn't coming off very good. And so if I'd have dug harder, it would have got worse. So I just kind of left it alone. And so it had a spot on it. And it would be pretty awesome if we could just, our things in life that get spots on them, our machinery, our whatever, our Bibles, if we could just pour something on them and it would just wash it clean and make it perfect and new again. And that would be pretty awesome. We like to try to fix ourselves or clean ourselves sometimes. And it tells us in the Bible that our cleaning solution won't cut it. We need to get under the fountain that flows free. And if Jesus' blood don't cleanse us, we're not clean. The songwriter says, "There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to the brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink." The only way to get hold of this cleansing is through prayer. It never comes around on WhatsApp, someone wondering what solution to use or how to get a hold of this. We all know prayer is the only way to connect with God and get a hold of the cleansing blood of Jesus. You don't have to wait for it to come in the mail either. It's delivered instantly. So it sounds simple and easy, and it is. We should not sin on purpose because of the free, available, easy to obtain forgiveness and blood of Jesus. Fact is, it is a very dangerous thing to do. In Numbers 15, verse 30 and 31, I'll read that. Numbers 15, 30, and 31. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord, and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. It's a very dangerous thing to do, to sin on purpose, figuring on the ease of forgiveness. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." David wrote a prayer in Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24, and it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So when we find ourselves with spots or blemishes and the clean feeling is gone, let's remember to get under the cleansing fountain of Jesus' blood so we can feel clean again. Psalms 51 verse 7 says, "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Let's stand for prayer.